Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
9:38, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Time for our weekly visit with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, Dean. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well. Last night, the word comes out that the Food and Drug Administration has granted emergency authorization for Regeneron, which is the antibody treatment that was given to President Trump right after he was diagnosed with COVID-19. What can you tell us about Regeneron? Give us the full scoop on it.
Yeah, so it is exciting news because the treatment essentially is a monoclonal antibody. And what it has shown is that it really neutralizes the infection fairly quickly in many individuals. So we'll be very promising to see if this single dose medication will start to eliminate illness in a lot of people early on. We found that, it apparently worked for the president, but it was a very small study. There were only about 45 people, I want to say, that were in it. But in that small study, it showed that it worked and worked well and worked safely. So very promising news. Just gives us one more bullet in our gun to help help us with this infection as we start to rely more on healthcare workers to provide more than just console to patients.
So this Regeneron, you said, is for people who are newly diagnosed. This is not for people who have had it for a while, who are maybe on ventilators and, pretty severe with the symptoms of COVID-19.
Yeah. So we really want to make sure that we're getting the people that potentially will get to the point of being very severe. So we really want to make sure that we use that on the appropriate people, people that get the illness, are at high risk or at high vulnerability, but early on, versus the ones that are already much more ill on ventilators. You've missed your window of opportunity at that point.
So if it's good for people who are newly diagnosed, is it also effective for people who might be in high-risk groups or people who are exposed and have not tested positive yet? Is it something that could be preventative?
Potentially, if we had enough supply of it, because when you look at people who have been exposed, our exposure numbers are so high right now, we would run through this. So really the goal is going to be identify those individuals and get them that treatment as early on as possible to prevent them from needing to be in the hospital. So we will start giving it in the IV, very soon as an outpatient. So we'll bring the patients safely into the hospital in a way that they don't interact with other patients or minimal staff. We'll give them that medication. We'll watch them for an hour, and then they will be discharged. So the goal is to try to stop those individuals from needing further, more intense hospitalization services.
Okay, and this is Eli Lilly, I believe, right? That is going to manufacture this, and they're saying that they will only have 80,000 doses of this by the end of November, and then by the first week of January, 200,000, and then at the end of January, 300,000. So they're just ramping it up like crazy.
Correct. So if you look at Lilly, that is a very big powerhouse to be able to make it as much as they possibly can. But just listening to the numbers that you just had right there, you hear about the new positivity rates, you hear about the hospitalizations, and you can see how those numbers dwarf the supply number that's going to be available for a little while here.
Yeah. So, the emergency authorization for this, did it go through the usual testing process? I mean, a vaccine is taking such a long time. This seems like it went through right away.
It went through a lot quicker, which is kind of interesting. We know that antibody studies and antibody medications have worked well in the past. So we use them for rheumatoid arthritis. We use them for lupus. So the FDA said this is not a new novel drug. This is just a new kind of a portion of what we've already used in the past. So I think that they're much more lenient in some of the studies. Not to saying it's unsafe, because like I said, it's an antibody, so it's not like it's a medication, it's a chemical we're giving people and we don't know how it's going to react. We just wanted to make sure that it was effective, and it certainly looked like it is, and it's shown that give it early, you can prevent things going south later. So that's probably the biggest news, is the doctors will see these patients and say, wait, you have diabetes and heart disease, you just tested positive, I am going to put you up for the antibody test, or excuse me, for the antibody treatment.
And did you say this Regeneron is used for lupus and arthritis, et cetera? Or is that something else you were talking about?
No, not this drug specifically, but we use antibody drugs already.
For other things. Okay.
Correct.
I got it. So I mean, my point was, if this is going to be used for COVID-19, what happens to the people who have lupus and other people who depend on these drugs, you know, for their daily lives? Are they suddenly without?
Well, you make a very good point there, because if you think about drug companies, it's not like we have extra factories sitting around and people not doing anything. So certainly all those medications are being made, and you would hope that there's a stockpile of them so it doesn't impact Eli Lilly's opportunities to make this medication. But you know, I'm sure that Eli Lilly probably isn't running their machines 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so they probably have ramped up quite a bit just for this.
Yeah. What's the latest on all the other vaccines? We've had a lot of news this week about vaccines that seem like they are in excess of 90% effective. What's your take on where we are with all of this?
Yeah, I think the vaccine story is probably the one that's the most fascinating. You know, Pfizer put in for their EUA on November 20th. The advisory committee is already looking at that information, and they will meet on December 10th. They'll make a decision and send it to the FDA on the 11th. The 12th, it'll go to the CDC. And theoretically, the distribution would happen on December 13th, and we would be vaccinating people on December 14th. So that first wave with Pfizer would happen December 14th. Moderna, just a little bit behind them. If you remember, they slowed for a little bit. So they are going to put in for their EUA sometime very early in December. And then you have AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson right behind them. We're just waiting for those results to see if they are as good as the Pfizer and Moderna. But when you're talking about an effective rate of 95%, we have to remember the CDC was willing to accept a vaccine with somewhere between 50 and 60% effective.
Yeah.
So at 95%, that's just amazing.
Yeah. With the kind of numbers that we're looking at right now and what we're expecting through the holidays, you know, Thanksgiving in particular, but even if this goes through Christmas, at times of year when people normally get together for Thanksgiving dinner, get together for holiday parties, get together for Christmas, for Hanukkah, for Kwanzaa, for, you know, a variety of celebrations, we could be looking at numbers, COVID-19 positivity numbers, exploding. So this really couldn't happen at a better time, I guess, right?
Well, I think it's good and bad. I think what happens now is people say, oh, there's going to be a vaccine, so now I don't have to worry. They take their guard down. So we have to make sure that people understand that the hospitals are really getting stressed right now. The healthcare providers are really getting stressed. And although that light at the end of the tunnel may be just a few months away, we have to realize that that first round of doses is all going to go to first responders, healthcare workers, nursing home staff to protect the vulnerable people. We probably won't see a widespread vaccination program probably until May or June, at which time we may have up to 4 or 5 different companies making the vaccine.
9:51 now. Ron Howard, Amy Adams, Glenn Close. My A-list interviews are coming up later in the program today. Dr. Kevin Most, our medical A-lister, answering questions about COVID-19, Central DuPage Hospital. What is a Dr. Most Thanksgiving going to be like this year?
Dean, it's totally different than how it's been in the past. You know, I think I've shared with you, I used to host Thanksgiving, and with my all my family, extended family, we would have close to 20 people there. And we would probably get as many people as we could around that dining room table, which came to about 10 or 12 people. You know, those days are gone.
Did you sit at the kids' table?
I sat at the kids' table, absolutely. At least I could have a conversation. In the adult table, I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, hey, you can't get a word in edgewise with the grown-ups anyway.
Yeah, but this year it's going to be different. We're all going to be celebrating, you know, at our homes, and we'll do a Zoom call or a conference call and, you know, share what we're thankful for. But, you know, my mother is, you know, in the high 80s. We certainly don't want to get exposed to her. My sister will be undergoing treatment for colon cancer. We don't want to certainly get her ill again. You know, and when you get a large group, if you get 20 people together, chances are there's going to be some asymptomatic person in that group,
right?
You know, as well as we all try to avoid it.
Is there a way to put a number on it and say don't have more than X number of people for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, you know, if I was going to do it, I would say no more than 6. And as long as half of those were people that you really knew well and were kind of already in your pod. And then the other thing I say, Dean, to people that are going to do it, say, hey, we are going to do this. Don't do your typical Thanksgiving meal where you're sitting at the table for a long period of time. Try to spread out as much as you can. If the weather is okay, open the windows, get the air circulating, make sure people are washing their hands frequently, and wear a mask. You can talk through a mask. You just really want to be as safe as we can, because this is one weekend actually, that we need to get over, or we're going to have that stress in the hospital system through December, yeah, and through the winter holidays.
Yeah, which we cannot afford. What about serving the food, even with small groups? Passing platters around doesn't seem safe. Setting up a buffet and having people going up to the buffet doesn't seem safe. What do you recommend for that?
Yeah, well, we have shown that not a lot of touching contact. Again, if as long as your hands are clean and you're washing your hands, that's great. You know, remember, Grandma would always tell you, all right, kids, go wash your hands before we have dinner. Same should be for Thanksgiving. If everybody washes their hands, you know, well before or just before Thanksgiving meal, then passing around is okay, because you've already proven that your hands are clean. Now, that being said, we know that the vast majority of these are going to be transmitted by air. So you usually at Thanksgiving will have loud conversations, right? You'll try to get a word in, and you'll right. talk a little louder.
Packed That's around the table, across from each other.
Yep.
You know, very few tables are 6 feet long or wide. To provide the correct amount of distancing. This is Rick at 312-981-7200. You're on with Dr. Most.
Yeah, Dr. Most, I have a couple questions about the effectiveness of the different vaccines. You know, they're saying some that had to be, some are 95%, some are 90%. One has to be kept really, really cold, and one is, you know, doesn't have to be kept. Now, when these do come out, can you actually pick and choose which one you want, and how will that go?
Great questions, Rick. So the logistics of delivering the vaccine is something that you just touched on and is a big concern for us. So the Pfizer vaccine has to be delivered at minus 70 and kept at minus 70 until it's thawed. And then we have, I want to say, 28 days to use it. Whereas the Moderna vaccine can be just kept in a regular freezer. So those are just the nuances of the vaccine. Will we have to pick? Will we pick and choose? You will probably be able to pick and choose eventually. Early on, it's going to be, here's the one that we have.
What's available, yeah.
Correct. If you get Pfizer for your first vaccine, the 21-day to 28-day later, you have to get Pfizer again. You can't go, I'm going to get the Moderna one. No, they have to be the exact same vaccine. The effective rate is, both of them tested right at 95%, which is phenomenal in the history of vaccines.
This is Carol. You're on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most.
Good morning. I'm honored to speak with you. My question is, when you do get the vaccine, how can you identify yourself, or how are you going to be identified? You're going to stop wearing a mask, I would think, and people are going to go, hey, you don't have a mask on. Well,
mask
I had
on
a vaccine.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Yep, Carol, you hit it right on the head. Is this going to be the scarlet letter that we're going to wear around saying that we have this? Are we going to have some identification that shows that? It may get to that point, but really early on, we're going to be protecting those healthcare workers. But as we start to roll this out, we are going to be testing for what we call herd immunity. And when we hit a certain percentage, then we'll really start to say, are masks really necessary from that point going forward, whether you got vaccinated or not? The goal is going to be to get 70% of the United States vaccinated. That, along with the individuals who have already been infected, will get us close to that herd immunity number so that we're all protected regardless of whether we've been vaccinated or not.
Yeah, I was talking about this with somebody. Even once I get vaccinated, I sort of want to keep my mask on. I feel safer from the flu, from getting a cold from somebody. I see it as, you know, being kind of a new normal.
It may be. And if you look at what happened with flu last year, because of masking, because of distancing, we had a low flu year, which would be ideal this year since we're stressed as much as we are right now with COVID. So will this become our new norm? It may, and time will tell. But I still think we're all going to be much more aware of infectious diseases now than we ever have been in the past, obviously.
Anyone who's been around me knows I've been wearing a beekeeper suit since last April, just to be on the safe side. Anyway, Kevin, I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you again for all the great information. All the best to you, to your family. I hope you have a great holiday. Thank you so much.
Thanks. And thanks for giving me the opportunity to at least share what I feel or what I see going on here. I think it's important as we enter this holiday. And Thanksgiving to all of your listeners as well. We appreciate them.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you every week. Thank you.